I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hearts open like flowers before ye. Ladies and gents, welcome to the Football Ramble. A big win for West Brom and Cristiano could be on the move. It's Thursday, 19th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Good to have you with us, everybody. It's a thrilling Thursday here on the Football Ramble. Jim, you're looking edgy fresh.
I feel edgy fresh. Yes. I've only just learned that's a thing, but I'm feeling it.
Andy, head on, son. Come on.
It was silly fresh in my day.
Really?
Yeah, silly fresh. Ooh, silly fresh.
All right. Mm. There we are, yeah. You see, ladies and gentlemen. We had a bit more championship last night. Which is always quite nice, I think. And my goodness, it was the first clash between two relegated sides. West Brom pumped Sheffield United 4-0 to move top of the table.
Yeah.
Didn't get my Fulham-y memo, did they?
No, they didn't. But what I love about this is they've gone top of the table on 7 points because we are 3 games in and no one has a 100% record.
No, that's gone.
Such is the championship. 3 games in.
That's what surprised me when we were having the Fulham chat yesterday. I mean, clearly you and Vish watch more championship than I. But still, that idea that Fulham are going to piss it. I guess people talked about Leeds a little bit like that, didn't they? Because they looked so imperious. Mm-hmm. They were so convincing. But it's a 46-game season where quite literally anything can happen. I always remember watching the championship when I lived in France, and they would put their most excitable commentators on it for a reason. Mm. And it clicks perfectly. I mean, Sky do a great job with the EFL, as the Quest on the highlights. But I just think if you like Harry Bowed up some people and then put them on it, I think that would fit the brand a little better. Coffee and Haribo and Red Bull.
Surely some sort of Bassett's would be better for the championship. Nod to one of their former men. But I mean, Andy, so did they watch a little bit of championship in France, or is this kind of you've got to seek it out? Because you're saying you're the most excitable commentators.
Yeah, it's on in France a lot. Yeah, you'll be surprised how much, well, maybe you won't be surprised, listeners, how much the championship is watched abroad. It does very well internationally. Yeah. People love it. I think a huge part of it is 46 games.
Yeah.
46.
But no, but I think my prediction was, I think Fulham will get promoted, and I think that they are the favourites for me to win it.
Yeah.
But of course, there's...
But it seemed quite emphatic. That was my question.
If you remember,
and like I said, you've seen more of them than me.
Well, if you remember my actual words, I said, "Of course, it's the championship. There'll be twists and turns and oohs and ahs." Mm. But you know, do you want to bet, bruv?
I'm putting all my money on Warnock.
Well,
but we'll get to that later.
I wouldn't be
putting it all on Neil.
I wouldn't be too quick to do that. But
he's giving me a signed photo.
Yeah, you don't have to pay for it. Imagine if you did. Imagine if it came out that there was a fiver exchanging hands.
That's changing that bag as well.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Don't worry, I've got an eyes at all.
I'll tell you what.
He got
people
two
don't really have change nowadays.
I'll tell you what, when he retires from football, which I don't think he ever will, he'd be very welcome to do the old bacon round in Edinburgh. He'd love that. Imagine Warnock selling you bacon. Could you think of anything more marvellous than that?
No.
But with West Brom, I mean, they did hammer Sheffield United. And we have to say that Darnell Furlong's long throws are quite the, as Ishmael put it himself, the manager, it's an unbelievable weapon.
Yes.
You have to use it.
Well, yeah. They nearly scored a couple of times before that went in, didn't they?
Yeah.
But I particularly enjoyed the celebration for the first goal. Was it Jack Robinson own goal, where he inadvertently headed in one of those long Furlong throws. And loads of people went up to congratulate the West Brom player.
Mm.
I think it was Clark. And he was like, "Why are you cuddling me?" I didn't score it. I clearly didn't score it. You shouldn't need a replay to see that.
It's always a funny one, isn't it? When there's an own goal and they run over to the player and the player's like, no, it's not me, but obviously we're happy we scored.
You see, that's the difference between a defender and a striker. If you're a striker, you celebrate it anyway, as if you
absolutely
scored it.
Like, you want it to be real as a defender, right? You know, they must be such a precious thing if you don't score that many goals as a defender. You want it to be genuine.
What, because they're pragmatic personalities?
Perhaps. Quite. I mean, three of West Brom's goals were pretty, like, just bundled in, and obviously, you know, there's a skill to that, and they absolutely forced Sheffield United into a 4-0 defeat. But it was a really interesting game, how Sheffield United actually had a lot more of the ball.
They had 65-66 possession.
And yet West Brom seemed utterly dominant in it.
Yes, I know. It's an odd one. And I wonder, I want to try and sort of appeal to the Sheffield United fans among us and say, and give a little bit of hope, because the possession stats show that Jukanovic's style of football is being implemented. Just need the important bit to follow now. And obviously a 4-0 loss is quite damning. And you look at a lot of the goals. But as you say, that's not disrespectful to West Brom. You know, you're not saying they only scored.
Oh, they look great.
They scored. And that's the main thing.
They look great, and the Hawthorns was absolutely pumping as
completely.
Well. Completely. And immediately look like they're going to be in the race to go up, as you would expect.
Yeah, absolutely. In second place. but Furlong himself talked about having... his words were something like, "We've got a new identity," or "We've got a new start," kind of thing, which is obviously, you know, one does if you get relegated. But it felt like, all right, we're back here. We know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Here we go. It's not a tail between the legs on. We've got to battle our way. They look up for the fight, and that is a very, very good win and very impressive win. But with Sheffield United, I just hope for their sakes, because as I say, Jukanovic at Fulham, it was just glorious to watch. Yes, he had Mitrovic up front and one and a few others in there, and they did create a few chances. And you know, McGoldrick was guilty of missing a chance. Yeah. And I know he's not particularly prolific striker,
but he's got to be putting those away, though. I mean, we were saying this about him all season last year, and it's one of those weird ones, isn't it, where you get those players that score loads of goals in the Championship and they start missing what seem like obvious easy chances in the Premier League. I don't think David McGoldrick is one of those players. I think he's just a wayward finisher, isn't he?
But they will get chances, and I just wonder if, as the season progresses, Jukanovic's style begins to be implemented more. We know.
I think so.
Early days is essentially what I'm saying.
Also, it's super difficult to come out of a season where you've been beaten all the time.
Yeah,
and like win from the off. It's really difficult.
I mean, it's particularly galling for Sheffield United. They had such a good season under Chris Wilder when they came up. Mm. Then obviously you have COVID shutting everything down. They've had this horrible season with no fans in. Mm. It must feel like waking up from a bad dream for a lot of Sheffield United fans. Like suddenly, you know, the difference between how things were left at the beginning of the pandemic to now is the starkest probably of any club, really. Mm. So it's going to take a while for them to reaffirm their identity.
But you're right, Marcus. The right manager is so important. And you feel that West Brom have got Valerian Ismail at just the right time.
Yeah.
Because he did such a good job at Barnsley. And he was unlucky not to arrive there as an Austrian champion. So. Mm.
Well, according to Alex Moat of West Brom, Ishmael is a big, scary lad.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, we that doesn't need to be reported to me. Do you know what I mean? I can draw that conclusion myself.
He'd previously called it that. He didn't say it last night about the manager. You wouldn't call a big, scary manager lad,
no,
would you?
No.
What are you doing, you fool?
From a distance.
From a distance, Andy. Borough and QPR played an entertaining game. QPR came out 3-2 winners against Warnock's Middlesbrough. In the North East, this was played. Of course, QPR down to 10 men as well. Neil Warnock was extremely angry with the officials, it's fair to say, at full-time after Middlesbrough had two.
I'd love to see a Neil Warnock mood heat map over a season. I don't know how you collect the data on that.
Yeah. What about expected anger?
Ex-fume.
Yeah. Exactly. They had two offside decisions against him, and then he claimed that Charlie Austin headbutted one of his players. He's very adamant about that.
Yeah.
But then I suppose you would be if you genuinely believe it to be true. But it was a crazy second half. Middlesbrough conceded an own goal 3 minutes in, one all, and then QPR were down to 10 men, took a lead, 3-2. It was incredible. And Warnock, to his credit, said, yeah, we'll have plenty of excitement this year. Can't fault that. It was a cracking game. And I do like the fact that even they lose and he is a bit angry, he still appreciates the wider picture.
Yeah.
He still appreciates a good old game of football because it's about entertainment, ultimately, Andy.
But isn't it going back to what we were saying before, in that so much is happening in the Championship or League One or League Two all the time, you don't have time to dwell on a result that doesn't go for you. You have to ditch it because there's another game like 15 minutes later.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's a very fair point. 15 minutes later, indeed. Right, come on, lads, let's go. Joe Willock's brother Chris set up QPR's second goal and then scored the winner.
Former Benfica player, yeah. Chris Willock.
Is that right?
Yeah, that is right.
What? The first team, or was he?
No, he never got into the first team. He played for the Bees for quite a while. He left Arsenal. Mm. A lot was expected of him, and he never quite made the first team.
Blimey! How about that?
That was a very family brand break from midfield into the penalty box to score, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, are they taking over the North East?
Yeah.
We need to get a Willock in at Sunderland at some point. Although what they've done to deserve that, I don't know. Derby County, speaking of unfortunate clubs, they got a win and a clean sheet away at Hull. My goodness.
What I love about this is it feels like a real sort of, like a blow has been struck for Derby.
Yeah.
It's like, yes. Yeah. And like, we're three games in and it feels like, you know, they've climbed up a mountain or something, and it's going to be such a struggle. But I'm impressed with the way that Wayne Rooney has kind of just made his home in the trenches here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he's woken up as of Derby, and they got a win finally after going on such a long winless run of about 8 or 9 games, something like that. And you're right, Jim. When you go on a winless run like that, you're away from home to, you know, not a bad side, clean sheet and all. And it was a lovely little squirmy winner.
Yeah.
That's what you need. That's what you need.
But they had chances in the game, though. You know, it's not like they...
Oh, sure.
You know.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm sort of underplaying this. But a win's a win's a win, as Brian Clough said, and it's a vital one, and it'll give them such a huge boost. They finished with a centre-back trio of Curtis Davis, Phil Jagielka and Richard Stearman.
I believe that children are our future.
Yeah. Combined age of 108. And I know the combined age can be a bit, but sometimes it's amusing.
It makes it sound like all three of those players feel like they're 108 years old when they're playing together. Like a sort of terrible version of the Big Power Ranger.
You see, if you're a mischievous newspaper editor or copywriter, you would say their central defence had a combined age of 108 without actually mentioning there were three of them.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
108-year-old defenders.
Uh-huh. Yeah, fair enough. Gentlemen, north of the border, Celtic got a very, very good win in their Europa League game against AZ Alkmaar, a decent opponent as well. Because sometimes these sort of preliminary rounds, you sort of think, oh, hang on, they're playing a side from where? And I've never
Admiral
heard of
Alkmaar. Yeah.
Good trap.
It could be, Jim. I never thought that about AZ Alkmaar. It could be. Yeah, if they go like 2-0 down Celtic in the next game, then it could be. This could be a trap.
Indeed,
as you
it
say.
Could be.
But it's a good win though, Andy, because AZ are not a bad side.
It's a good time to catch them because they've lost a lot of players this summer. They lost their starting goalkeeper Bizo. He went to Brest. And then they've had a few go to France, actually. Mm-hmm. Calvin Stengs gone to Nice. Myron Boadu's at Monaco as well, which is the two players at the top that made it happen for them. But you're right. They've had a series of good seasons. But Kaigo Furuhashi has just made just such an enormous impact instantly. Mm. The penalty box sniffer.
Yeah.
I feel all super wistful about it as well, especially in the week that we lost Gerd Müller. He's cut from a similar cloth, isn't he? No one's arguing that he's of that level, but you know,
I don't think anybody is.
Yeah,
there's definitely some kinship there.
Sure,
I mean, the goal was brilliant as well in terms of sniffing one out. That was like a pig on a truffle. Like it was properly like heavy duty quality of a sniff.
Where's Yogi Love when you need him? Just hear all these sniff one out and so on. My goodness. Obviously, he scored a hat-trick against Dundee in his first league game. But yeah, he's taken it to a duck to water, like a duck to water. And you know, with all the chat about Eduard and so on, I mean, if he was to move on, they would obviously hope to keep him. My goodness, you know, like I say, when you get a guy who hits the ground running like that, you've got to enjoy that. Speaking of which... What about the Celtic goalkeeper, one Joe Hart?
Yeah.
A clean sheet in the Europa League once again. He's, Jim, come on.
Yeah, made a couple of big saves.
Nice to see him in front of a packed stadium of that size and magnitude, Andy.
Well, probably after last season, he, you know, went up there for transfer talks and he's like, if you can guarantee me Europa League football,
yeah,
I'm in.
Well, it's European football,
it's
is it not?
Well, it's a step
up, absolutely.
Isn't it? In terms of Europe, it's a step up.
I mean, it's better than sitting on the bench for a side.
Yeah, a player like Joe Hart at his age, you know, who's achieved what he's achieved. Like, yes, some players, when they go into their twilight years, it's great to sort of take that second slash third keeper at a big club job and like, the perfect lovely old job, as you always describe it.
Mark. He's done that for long enough.
He has done it
Rob
for long
Green
enough.
Won the Europa League.
Yeah,
got a
exactly.
Europa League winner's medal.
But Joe Hart wants to play. We know what type of character he is, and I think this is a really good fit for him. I hope he does well there. And so far he is doing well there, so it's good.
Yeah. Elsewhere in Europe, did you see that young boys in Ferencvaros pulled out a cracker at the Wankdorf Stadium, Andy?
Did they?
Yeah.
David Wagner's young boys.
Oh,
I look
there
forward
we are.
To you updating us on the rest of Ferencvaros' season, Marcus.
Yeah, well, they lost 3-2. God, it was fortunate they were 3-1 down.
It was a very entertaining game.
What a goal it was, that second one.
Yeah, Vincent Sierro. Brilliant
described
goal.
Described as a thunderbolt by some.
Yeah, it was the perfectly caught volley into the top corner. But young boys played most of that game with 10 men. Mm. So, yeah, well played them.
All to play for in Budapest in the next game.
Exactly.
Anyway, speaking of Hearts, it's been confirmed that Hearts will become fan-owned at the end of this month when the foundation of Hearts Fan Group takes control of Anne Budge's shares. Budge invested to get the club out of administration in 2014 with the fans group pledging to buy her out over time. And they will become the largest fan-owned club in Britain. Once again, blazing a trail, Andy.
Mm.
What do you think of that?
Well, largest fan-owned club in, not only fan-owned club in.
Sorry,
Britain.
Largest. I said. Did I say only?
Yeah, no, you didn't. But in terms of blazing a trail,
yeah.
Having
I see what you mean.
Having been to AFC Wimbledon at the weekend,
I
think it's great. It's something that I'd like to see more of. I think it's really important that Hearts make a success of this because people will always say, and even though, say, Wimbledon have come so far, people always say there's a ceiling to fan ownership.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if fans were to gradually prove otherwise.
Yes.
Because clearly already fans have proved that with a wide range of skills and you know everyone's got something to offer, that it's not some magic potion. You can find a way between you when you've got the best interests of the club at heart and lots of different people to call on. So look, I really hope it goes well for them and that it's a success story that people all over the world hear about.
Yeah, Jim, you're not a capitalist swine. You must be pleased with this Hearts fan owned thing.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very nice story, especially given the circumstances of it.
Mm-hmm.
If to for them to have been lifted out of administration in this way, and then actually have some involvement and ownership, because that's often, you know, the price it comes at, isn't it? Is your club is saved, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, it becomes essentially a plaything for someone else.
Hearts have had a sort of a relatively big takeover with Vladimir Romanov, of course, the Lithuanian, I think, businessman who came over, a bit of money in the club and so on. And I know that's a much smaller scale, of course, than in the Premier League, but it does show you can go from one model to the other. You know, and again, smaller, more relative, blah, blah, blah. But it can be done.
Work for Sven as well.
Everything works for Sven. you know, apart from, well, anyway. Right, quick break.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Clash of the Titles, the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death, we welcome into the arena the brilliant host of the Girls on Film podcast, Anna Smith. Join us as we battle out Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid versus Thelma and Louise.
Apparently the other scene that people were like, whoa, was when Butch, at the very start, when he's fighting Logan, kicks him in the balls, because your Western heroes up until that point had never fought dirty. It was just unheard of that someone would do that. And so people gasped in the theatre and then sort of burst out laughing because this was so new to them.
That's what I'd do as well.
It's totally what I'd do.
Yeah,
100%.
Uh-oh. So if we fought each other, we'd just be trying to kick each other in the balls for 10 minutes.
Such an image.
And in September, Chris Vickie and I will be appearing at the London Podcast Festival for the first ever Clash of the Titles live show. Get your tickets now from kingsplace.co.uk.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Chami, can you pass it one touch? Then why don't you do it? Listen!
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's time for emails.
Yep, Show at footballramble.com, indeed. Charlie has been in touch, and he says, listening to Tuesday's episode and the chat about Thomas Tuchel being somewhat intense, I was out on my bike yesterday evening, and a few miles from home, I nipped through one of those mega expensive gated estates near Cobham and saw a man in a blue tracksuit and some Nike high tops pedalling along with his dog alongside.
Oh.
And yep, you guessed it, it was the man Tuchel himself. I said hi, asked for a picture, and just as I was about to pedal off, he started asking about my bike, had a quick chat about golf, and seemed like he didn't have a care in the world. A genuinely lovely bloke. He might have spent all day being a turbo twat, but thought I'd offer this defence of him based on that brief encounter. That's lovely to hear, isn't it?
I can't get enough of it.
Probably how he draws
you in.
His dog, though.
It's how he draws you in.
Go on, Andy. What happens when you get drawn in too much? Because I'm in danger of that.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to Charlie's follow-up.
Well, according to Admiral Alkmaar, it could be a trap.
It could be a trap.
Yeah, once again. My goodness. But you said that, didn't you, Jim? That he comes across as a man who always needs to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
But clearly...
Apparently not.
Well...
So what a swift rebuttal we've had to that.
Maybe this is the place where he wants to be. He's just chatting to members of the public about stuff he enjoys.
Maybe his dog rules the household.
Could be.
I mean, he never takes his dog to the game, does he? So
that's a fair point. Or maybe he's just sort of thinking, yeah, fine, look, fine, we've won the Champions League, hurry up, I want to get back out on my bike.
Love it if managers did that. Just had a dog in the dugout as well. Imagine Roy Keane with Triggs back in the Sunderland days. Would have been great.
It would have been great. Warnock would have a big legion of them. Yeah. Attack!
It's how you train the dog, isn't it? Like the ball flying around. No, yeah. Stay.
He would have them crowd around the referee.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
We've got one here from Riley. The water park story reminded me of a case from the 1930s that I studied in property law.
The water park story was the one from Italy, in case anybody didn't see it or you've forgotten about that. The water park slide is right next to the ground and you can sort of see the game going on.
Yeah, so they've barred the water park from opening, essentially, was how the story was reported. And we were wondering if they have the authority.
Yes.
Jackie Weaver was unavailable to help.
anyway, Riley continues, in this case, a race course was surrounded by a high fence. Mm. A radio broadcasting station was constructed next to the race course, and part of this was a 5 metre tall tower from which you could see the races with binoculars. The radio broadcaster facilitated off-track betting and relayed information about the races. The race course owner took the case to court, claiming this resulted in losses from the on-track regulated betting. It went all the way to the High Court, who found against the racecourse owner. Amongst other things, the High Court determined that there was no property in a spectacle, so the race park could not claim any property rights for putting on the race. There was no breach of copyright laws, no proof of nuisance caused by the station, and no breach of privacy laws. The state laws were later amended to prevent this sort of conduct. I'm unaware of the legislation in Italy where the water slide is situated. However, I'm still willing to fight for Aquasplash. Don't bend to the will of this tyrannical club. Contact me.
Yeah, so if you're a representative of Aquasplash in Italy, get in touch. We'll hook you up with Riley.
1-800-RILEY.
That's it.
This is great.
Andy, you're in the process of building a big tower by AFC Wimbledon Stadium, and you've called it the Tower of Ryan Barbell, I believe. And maybe, you know, Riley's the man who could help protect this project.
Or you could just buy a flat on the third floor upwards.
Probably more expensive.
Yeah.
Sadly. There we are. Show at footballramble.com to get in your legal ramblings. Appreciate that very much. So, gentlemen, let's move on to Arsenal, who have agreed to sign Martin Odegaard from Real Madrid in a deal worth €35 million. Expected to sign a 4-year deal. Jim Campbell. It seems like a good bit of business for Arsenal.
It does seem like a good bit of business. A lot of people have been quite down on it because I think we saw a little bit of Odegaard, and obviously people want a new toy. And his spell was good without being spectacular. Mm-hmm. But I think I make the mistake, as so many of us do, of just looking at football Twitter and just like that ruining my week. But so many people are just talking about him being a very underwhelming player. But I think they're forgetting the Sociedad form, essentially, which is what Arsenal will be hoping for from this transfer. And if you were to take into, you know, when they loaned Odegaard before, the idea of getting him for 30, 35 million seemed impossible. Mm-hmm. And I think it still represents a very, very good deal. So I've got some little Rafa Benitez facts here about his time at Sociedad, which I think is the context that this transfer needs to be taken in, because clearly this is what Arsenal want from him. What's really great about him is his creative passing. Now, he was involved in 24 goals in total in La Liga in that season. He played the most balls into the penalty area in the whole of La Liga with a 56% success rate, which seems low, but only Tony Cruz had higher, and he played a lot fewer passes. And he was second only to Messi for passes that go through a defence or find a teammate in a goal-scoring position, and he made 90 of those.
Is that
Messi made 143 because he's an alien.
Yeah, that's true. Is that going to come in handy at Arsenal, though? Is anyone going to be on the end of it?
Well, it depends, isn't it? But this is the problem, though. A lot of Arsenal's players...
His teammates are the problem.
No, well, potentially, but actually, genuinely, the lack of a player... being able to do that sort of thing has been the problem. Now, obviously, Emil Smith-Rowe made a huge difference when he came in because he is the sort of player that makes those sort of passes. He can't do everything.
Yes.
Having the pair of them in there, and especially as Smith-Rowe sometimes plays very effectively out wide as well. Arsenal badly need a player who can do that. Exactly, slip in a Saka or a Pepe. They badly need a player that can link that midfield and that forward line, and they've been lacking it. So if he can, you know... hit that potential, I'm excited by that. He didn't quite hit those heights clearly at Arsenal when he was there on that loan period, but he was playing through an injury for a lot of it. So.
But he did all right, and a loan move can be a thing.
I thought he was good.
Yeah, and a loan move can be a funny old thing. But I think
you've got to look at players settling into the Premier League. There are better players than him who've had worse starts to Premier League life. And some of them went on to be Arsenal legends, like Robert Pires and Dennis Bergkamp.
Yeah, so, Thierry Henry.
Yeah. What did he score? One in the first 11? Something like that?
So he is going to be that good for us. We've just mentioned those three.
We got a lot of those players just waiting to explode.
Yeah, the whole squad
of them. This could be the year.
Going back to what Jim was saying, I think you can build a case for in that last year at Real Sociedad in 1920, up until the pandemic break, you could say he was the best player in the league who didn't play for Barcelona or Real Madrid. He was that good.
Yeah. And that's Andy Brassel saying that.
Yeah.
Twitter.
So up yours, Twitter. I think it's just pleasing that you remember when he was, 16 when he signed for Real Madrid?
I think, was he 15?
Was he?
I think that might have been why it was such a big deal.
I mean, that he's recovered from something like that.
Absolutely.
I think shows that he's got balls of steel.
I completely agree.
He seemed a real leader on the pitch.
And it is a sort of a cautionary tale for any sort of teenagers out there who are about to be signed by Real Madrid. But it's true, you know, there were real fears that he would disappear and end up being a sort of a 27-year-old lad who finishes playing football because he's completely disillusioned with it all and so on. To get a big move to a big Premier League club, and they are still a big Premier League club, they'll always be a big Premier League club, in Arsenal. I think it's great, I really do, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing him. I know he said next season, this season.
And who you got to thank? Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah, big Carlo again.
Not interested in anyone under 30.
Once again, we thank you, Carlo. Of course, Arsenal on the verge of signing Aaron Ramsdale.
Yeah, this one's a bit different.
Sheffield United could have done with him in goal last night.
Yes.
That's the thing. I thought Arsenal were being rinsed here, but then I saw a bit of that game and it changed my mind.
Oh, have a bit of respect, Andy. You're a shocker. But it's a lot of money for a goalkeeper who may not be the first choice. I mean, maybe there's a view to make him first choice, but Arteta's kind of saying, well, we want a bit of competition in goal. It was never a bad idea to have two decent players for every position, but do you know what I mean? Like,
there's
one or two people on Twitter just saying, I don't understand you, Arsenal.
Yeah, it was 24 million with 6 million in add-ons, isn't it? The thing with Leno is, I mean, he doesn't... You sense he's very open to a move. One hasn't come along yet, but I don't think he's going to sign a new contract. So Ramsdale comes in to put pressure on him. I don't know if he seems like the player who is going to come in and challenge so much. It's obviously he's been relegated a few times. Maybe a bit harsh to beat him with that stick. The age profile goes down of the team, but is that so important with a goalkeeper? I'd argue maybe, you know, not so much on that scale. Mm. I think the theory is that Arteta wants to bring in players that he can mould and make his own. And I think if your goalkeeper isn't that fussed about being there, that's something you probably want to address. And Leno's distribution isn't amazing. I've seen that Ramsdale's quite well rated for that. I can't say that's an observation I've made myself, but that's certainly what I've seen other people say. Mm-hmm. So it's one I'm a little confused by. But, you know, you just got to see how he does. I mean, clearly really, really wants him.
Mm-hmm. I think the concern that people have is that Arsenal are being... I guess what the Chicago Bulls are in the NBA at the moment, they're paying a lot to not improve that much. But I agree with you. I think the age profile is important because if you think there's a margin for improvement, then that's, you know, they're in a rebuild phase, aren't they?
It's a bit
of
a boot camp season almost. I wouldn't be surprised if we miss out on Europe again.
That's where they are. And the fact is, like, people saying, oh, it's a lot of money. Well, yeah, it's the Premier League. And the Premier League clubs are the only ones who can't plead poverty during a pandemic.
You've got to pay to tread water, essentially.
And you do. Yeah. Ray Parlour said this week that the best transfer Arsenal have done in the last few seasons is swapping Carlsberg for Camden Hells in the stadium.
Love it.
I love it. Ray always gives perspective.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Can I just say, I think that man, if he'd have played more for England, I think he'd be considered more a national treasure.
Oh, he's brilliant. He is a national treasure.
Yeah.
How do you reply to that?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Can we put him forward?
Do you think, get
a blue plaque on him or something?
But can there be, if you want to be a national treasure, can you have a cult following as well? Or do you think the two can...
Does the cult following have to grow to a certain size?
Yeah, maybe. Then is it a cult following anymore?
Mm.
That's the trouble.
Let us know. Show at footballramble.com. How do we officially make Ray Parlour a national treasure? What are the steps?
Absolutely love it. You can imagine him if he got an OBE or something, you know. Oh, cheers, Lizzie.
Yeah. Apparently, I heard a story that when he met up with the England squads... Because Ray Parlour's a very funny man, basically constantly joking.
And like, having been in his presence a few times, and I'm very lucky to say that, he is delightfully and naturally hilarious.
Yeah. Well, apparently, Robbie Fowler and Steve McManaman sort of filled that role in the squad and they didn't like it.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a rumour I heard. I can't remember. It's via about 10 different people, so I don't know how true it is, but... Remember hearing it.
How about that? Right, talking of rumours, Jim, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
He's ended the rumours about his return to Real Madrid with an incredibly long statement on his Instagram calling the frivolous reports disrespectful to him as a man and a player. Okay, is the situation that bad at Real Madrid?
Yeah.
I think linking me to that crap.
He's never seen a transfer rumour about himself before. Because they happen every week. Just not enough.
I mean, is that not disrespectful to Carlo Ancelotti, Andy?
Some would say it's disrespectful to BBC Sports gossip column that he's only just discovered it at 36 years old.
He said, I'm breaking my silence now to say that I can't allow people to keep playing around with my name. I remain focused on my career and in my work, committed and prepared for all the challenges that I have to face. Everything else is just talk.
And then a
smiley, winky emoji.
Well, that's the remarkable thing in this whole statement about it's disrespectful to talk about his future. There's no bit where he says, I'm committed to Juventus and I want to stay for the season.
Well, there you go. And because at the end of last season, his post on Instagram hinted that he was moving away. It was like, there you go, Juventus. My work here is done. You know, in the Champions League, my work here is done. And thanks very much, and it's been great. And
it's disrespectful to talk about my future. Now make me an offer.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what's going
on. It's like the posh version of Akinfenwa going, what's at me?
That is quite similar. Apparently, though, in more positive Cristiano Ronaldo-related news, he's opened a hair transplant clinic.
He has. The quotes from him are amazing as well.
Where is this clinic, Jim?
It's in Spain somewhere.
Okay. If it's not in Istanbul, I'm not going.
He says, alopecia is a very big problem in Europe and around the world. We want to help people improve their self-esteem and not be ashamed to come to us. Everyone likes to take care of their image, and I am a very clear example of this. Good on him. Good on him. It seems to be, you know, his MO is improving. It's all about confidence and giving people confidence in themselves. And I love that. You know, he gets, you know, accused of essentially being the reincarnation of narcissists and not unreasonably. But there is a sense of genuine sort of like magnanimity here. Like, it's brilliant being this confident. I want everyone else to experience it. And let's start with some hair.
Yeah. Well, where else to start?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it could be a case of him protesting a bit too much. But when he says things like that, you kind of go, oh, I suppose it's true.
Yeah.
We were talking about it earlier and Jim was saying there are quite strong Pelé vibes to this. You know?
Yeah, he says, if I ever need it, I'll do it.
I don't need it myself, but if I did, you know, like Pelé with Viagra.
Yeah. But I thought you meant that when Pelé kind of had his hair turned into diamonds or something, is this what this hair... transplant clinics.
Maybe that's
like,
what
you go
in.
You come out with diamond encrusted hair. Could be an idea.
If anyone's ever going to do that,
yeah, get involved. Oh, by the way, you said that Carlo Ancelotti loves footballers over 30. Gareth Bale seems to be starting again.
It's funny, actually. A few more arch Spanish media observers were saying that in the last week that, you know, after a summer of we want Haaland, we want Mbappe, wait for the time at this point next week where they're going to say the real signing is Bale. And it's been in two sports papers this week.
Really?
A big picture of him grinning on the front. Bale is on the way back.
Yeah,
a new Bale.
That would be very
interesting. Because, I mean, him and Ancelotti have worked together very successfully before, though. And
yeah, Bale loves him.
Maybe this is just, you know, very, very good Madrid PR, but the talk has been that his demeanour in general has been a lot more committed and he's doing very well around Madrid. I read a really interesting thing about the way Bale likes to train effectively, which is that he likes a very individualised training sort of regime, and he'll like a high intensity session a couple of days before a game and then very little just before the game. And apparently Mourinho didn't want to give him that. Mm-hmm. But eventually came around to it, and that was when we saw Bale's form pick up. So that's really, really interesting to me.
Yeah.
That he essentially wants a different program from the rest of the team. I mean, I'm sure some players like to train like that as well, but you don't really think of training being tailored like that, do you?
Does his training involve golf clubs?
Possibly it does, the day before a game. But it's interesting. I mean, if that is the best way to get the most out of a player with that amount of talent.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You've got to find that balance. But Ancelotti's good at this.
That's what he does, doesn't he?
It's a huge challenge.
He gives responsibility to the players, and he says, "You know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the job for me."
Well, it's a big challenge, isn't it? Because everyone says everyone should be treated the same in a squad. All the players should be treated.
No one normal says that.
No, but that's the perception.
Yeah,
and that's almost the perception that you need to give the players.
It's quite the old school disciplinarian idea, isn't it?
Totally. But as you sort of saying there, Andy, that never happens. I mean, the ultimate example of that was Eric Cantona at Manchester United, of course, going back all those years. But it can't happen like that. Certain players get motivated in certain ways. They come from different backgrounds, different walks of life, different experiences, all that kind of stuff. It's sort of a blanket approach to treat everybody the same. But you need to kind of, again, sort of give the illusion that everyone is valued the same, if you see what I mean. Which, again, is not the case, but it is that kind of thing. But Ancelotti, I mean, was it when Fabio Coentrão was there? I think there was a story in one of Luke's interviews on Ramble Meets years ago where he was annoyed that Gareth Bale wasn't really training that hard, and he went to Ancelotti and said, you know, this is nonsense. What's going on here? And Ancelotti said, well, okay, but what about all your other teammates? Is he training hard? Blah, blah, blah. Well, right, why don't you focus on that then? And Coentrão was like, good point. And he walked out quite happy.
You see,
the situation hasn't changed.
I'm just reeling from the fact that Fabio Coentrão could take issue with someone not training hard.
Okay, well, maybe it wasn't Coentrão, maybe it was another player, but yes. I take your point.
And maybe he's going, look, he's not training very hard. Can I not train very hard?
Yeah. Can I train less?
Well, I think that was probably what Angelo was. Stop looking at him because he is scoring goals in European finals. Okay?
Yeah.
There we are. Gentlemen,
upside down.
Gentlemen, I'd like to finish with some talk about football kits, specifically what Puma are doing.
Yes.
And Manchester City unveiling their third kit last night, and one or two other clubs, including AC Milan, I think Marseille. What the hell's going on here, Jim?
They've missed a deadline, haven't they, clearly? Because they've given loads of teams the same third kit and they look like the title page of a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
They've just got the name of the club across the sort of the nipples, I suppose.
Yeah, so the third kits of these clubs, as you say, and they are shit.
Awful.
They really are. You think about the amount of money, specifically Manchester City. I know Puma have got their prerogative and they're going to literally kit out everybody in the same sort of template or whatever.
Yeah, but, I mean, big sportswear companies use templates. It's just that this is not a very good one.
This is really, really bad.
Sent the wrong draft, haven't they?
And it's £70.
It gave me a childhood flashback. It's sort of the sort of thing where your mum goes to the market,
yes,
and brings it back for you, and you're like, I can't wear this to school.
I remember from Dagenham Market getting t-shirts of Ian Wright and of Paul Merson, and I loved them. They were great. Like everyone local had a thing like that. It was like wearing a band t-shirt of a player.
Sure, yeah.
And it looks like that. When I saw the pictures of Jack Grealish wearing the Man City one, I assumed it was like not even a training top.
Like on holiday in Valaraki.
Well, more like they're flat out on his back.
Something but, to sleep in.
But more like it's just they're trying to do sort of like a kit that's not a kit that you also sell, trying to normalise the idea of wearing like club merchandise, like that's a kit but not a kit. It didn't even enter my mind that they might actually play in it. They can't be allowed to win the league in that. Apparently, every other club in the Premier League has got to like just rally around.
The best
they need to be relegated for that. Everyone needs to up their game so much that Man City. Apologies to Man United there for dragging them into this. Yeah. Man City can't be allowed to get a single point.
You shouldn't have to tweet back to people going the badge is on there. you just have to look a bit harder.
Exactly, yeah. Andy. Exactly. Right.
It's not finished, is it?
Right.
It's not finished.
Oh dear. If you're enjoying what we're doing here at the Football Ramble, remember you can get even more from us over on our Patreon as well as ad-free rambles. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble for more info. On tomorrow's show, I'm back with Luke and Vish. How about that? Before we go into Miami, another victory.
Yep.
Get on.
It's another cup.
Get on board
that
the steam
trophy
tray.
Cabinet is bulging.
Oh, it's absolutely magnificent. Well done, Fizzer. Right. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to today's ramble. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Fizzer. See you tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.